Remember that. I'm going to read you something from 1 Peter chapter 5. It says, "For God resisteth the proud." Are you proud? Well, God resisteth you and giveth grace to the humble. God giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves in verse 6 in 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Have you humbled yourselves? Even though this scripture is written by the Apostle Peter, it still has an application for the dispensation of the grace of God. Humble yourselves. That's what it says. If you would, go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul was talking in verse 16, talking about, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." Do you remember the Apostle Paul before he was saved on the road to Damascus? He was a Judaizer. He was well beyond any of his peers. He had excelled in the Jews' religion. He had accomplished all these works. He could boast in those works that he was superior. But then on that road, things changed. "What would you have me do, Lord?" Owner. So Paul says in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men," he hasn't got to worry about his salvation. The Lord saved him and told him what he did, and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. Now, let's finish that up. Verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a" what? "Servant." He humbled himself. You are going to have to humble yourself if you're going to please the Lord as a saved individual. I'm reminded of, shall we continue in sin? God forbid, just because we're under grace. Humble yourself. Do it willingly. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 with me, would you? Talking about humility. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's talk about what Paul wrote here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, wherewith you are called." We're all called in here, if you're saved. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing or sustaining to lift up one another in love." That's what we're supposed to do. Lift up, not break down each other. Do not be ignorers of one another. Love one another in the Lord. Love one another in the Lord. About going to Ephesians 4:32. Well, I'm going to go to verse 31. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another." Don't be ignorers of each other. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'm overjoyed that my Savior died in my stead. So who am I to say I can't forgive you or you? I'm nobody, but I am somebody. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 8. I'm an adopted son of God. And I pray everyone in here is, other than those two people. Now, I pray that they see and trust the Lord Jesus Christ while this service is going on or during this weekend. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. How much better could it get? It can get a little bit better. Why? It's because I'm going to get a new body. Is that a hallelujah? Yes, it is. We're going to get a new body. We're living in this present evil world. If you don't believe it, you look around. You see what's happening. It's bad. It's not getting any better. Not getting any better. How about going over to Luke, would you? Yes, we're going outside of Romans through Philemon, and I've been accused of that, of going outside Romans through Philemon. Oh, y'all guys just worship Paul. No, we don't worship Paul. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, through the writings of the Holy Spirit that was given to the Apostle Paul. So we have an application out of the other scriptures. It's all written for us, but not unto us. So let's just see what Luke chapter 14 has to say. Verse 11. I want you to see this applies today as it did whenever Jesus Christ spoke it in Luke. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Humble yourselves. When the time is right, Jesus Christ will exalt you. But it says again, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be made low. Shall be made low or abased. Christ came to minister, didn't he? That's what the scripture says. To render service. The Son of Man came to render service. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, I'm going to read it to you. You don't have to go unless you want to. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So if the Son of Man came to minister, to be a servant, the moment that you're saved into the body of Christ, the spiritual, invisible church, you become an ambassador for Christ. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. If you believe the scriptures, and I believe every one of the King James scriptures, it's the only holy Bible there is. A lot of Bibles. We're talking about humility. A servant of Christ must, I didn't say could be, must be humble. He must abase himself. Have you abased yourself? Think about it. We are pumped up to go out and sell. I was in sales for a long time. To go out and pump yourself up and say, you're the best. You're the best. You're the best. So you can convince yourself that you are the best and go out and sell. And that's the way sales techniques work. But in this case, all I want to do is serve the Lord. My calling, my job is to tell you about what the Scripture says, rightly divided, without changing any tittle, any word whatsoever. And I was telling a gentleman earlier tonight, he's not familiar with rightly dividing the word of truth, and I said, it took me 2 years under Brother Moore to find out what that meant. It wasn't Brother Moore's fault, it was mine, because I just fought it. What's the word of truth? What's the gospel of your salvation? I trusted it. I'm saved. I'm righteous. Righteous is God because it's God's righteousness that's placed upon my account the moment I trusted what his Son did at Calvary. Back to humility. Now, you can't have humility without knowing what the opposite is. That's haughtiness. Haughtiness. Self-exaltation. I watch television occasionally. I can't stand to watch the TV ministers anymore. And whenever I see these ministers on television exalting themselves, it just makes me sick. They want to be somebody. They want the world to look at them. And of course, send your money in. That's the big thing with that. Whether you've got a Houston stadium or whatever, and you've got 30, 40, 50,000 people looking at you and don't even know the gospel, they still want your money, and they want to be important. Well, I'm telling you, I'm important to God, and if you're saved in this room tonight, so are you. God has a plan, and he has a purpose for every individual in the body of Christ for this dispensation. There is no doubt about that. A humble man is small in his own eyes. You've got to really assess yourself and see if you think you're somebody or if you think that you're small in your own eyes. Would you rather help somebody else or have someone help you? That's something to think about. Person who exalts himself, he exalts himself above and beyond other people. But a person who humbles himself, he'd rather glorify the Lord and others other than himself, and himself last. You know, whenever I got saved in 1986, I had no idea, not one iota, that I would be preaching and teaching the gospel of the grace of God. Matter of fact, it's the furthest thing from my mind. I love listening to Brother Moore, and I'd listen to his tapes, and anytime I could see him on television, it was just a wonderful thing. And then things changed. I never wanted to do what I'm doing now. We have a church in Milton, Florida. We have a Bible class in South Alabama, as Jack said. I wouldn't do anything else. Matter of fact, I'd probably have to pay somebody if they wouldn't let me do it. It's just that good. It makes you feel wonderful. It makes you know that you're serving the Lord. And like I said earlier, I'm not doing a very good job of it. I don't believe any of us feel like we're doing a good job. We just keep on pounding. Pounding. I am a little bit animated here. How about going over to Philippians, would you please? Chapter 2. Do you have the mind of Christ who humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross? Do you have a desire to serve the Lord? Now, remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we discussed in verse 20, we're all ambassadors for Christ the moment that you have trusted Christ. But everyone is not called to be a preacher, teacher, evangelist. But if you are, there's some things that we need to discuss. But first, let's look at this for humility in Philippians chapter 2, starting verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. You know, the Scripture says so much about lowliness and abasement of each individual. In taking care of other people other than ourselves first, but do we really put this into practice? We give it lip service, a lot of us do. Let's put it into practice. Put it into practice. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. How can you help someone? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, Jesus Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's pretty hard for one of us to do, to make ourselves of no reputation. Because whenever you're preaching the word or you're sharing the word, whether you know a lot or you don't know a lot, people will come up and they say, well, you know, you've done just a fabulous job. Well, that sounds like a pat on the back, and that's what it's meant to be from the person telling you that. But it makes me feel like they need to be glorifying the Lord instead of telling me that I'm doing a good job. I'm a servant of the Lord. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, Jesus Christ, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he did something. He humbled himself. Can you go home tonight and say, you know, I humble myself here tonight? After that man got through speaking, I decided that I wasn't humbling myself enough. I've been exalting myself a little bit more than what I think I should. if Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh to us, the risen Savior can humble himself, the Son of Man, the Son of God, why can't we, when we've had, he has died on the cross to pay for your sins, he has justified you, you're cleared of your sins, why can't we humble ourselves and serve Jesus Christ? Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him a name which is above every name. And when I mentioned just a minute ago, Romans chapter 8, about a Son of God, to me, that is the top you can get for us. If you're saved into the body of Christ, you are a Son of God. It can't get any better. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things, listen, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Share the gospel, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Believe me, whenever you get saved, it's like a beam of light, like headlights is attached to you. People see you. They look at you. They emulate you in a lot of cases. And then again, if you're not that light that's shining brightly out here and humbling yourself, someone may say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want to be that. I want to be the example as the Apostle Paul was. But I'm failing in that endeavor. The Apostle Paul lived as if he, put it like this, he tried to live as if he had been resurrected already. But he realized in Romans chapter 7 that he was carnal, sold unto sin. What I don't want to do, that's what I do, and what I do, that's what I don't want to do, to paraphrase. A haughty man will use other people. A humble man will allow himself to be used. A haughty man seeks his own glory. I watch it on TV. A humble man seeks to glorify God and others first. How about going to 1 Corinthians? Everyone knows this, but let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul wrote in his pre-prison epistle, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That's why I'm saying we're not following the Apostle Paul, we're following the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the revelations he gave to the Apostle Paul. Now, when you go out into this world and you go about your calling, your vocation, you're going to run up against some resistance. It's called Satan, prince of the power of the air, and various other names. Opposition is going to meet you in every way it can. I tell the people in my church in Milton, I said, it's like this. Satan doesn't care if you go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel. You can sit in a church and it's have 12,000 people in it, and Satan's just as happy. Doesn't bother you. But when you set foot in a grace-believing, Bible-believing, rightly dividing the Word of Truth church, he has a fit, because he knows you're going to get the gospel. Now, some of these churches get so close to the gospel, but if you add anything to it or take anything away from the gospel of the grace of God, then you have perverted it, as Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. And he's so emphatic about changing the gospel. He says it in verse 8 and 9. If I or an angel preach any other gospel than which I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. It's important. So you're going to run across all this opposition in your thinking, in your speaking, in your manners, in your actions. People are going to look at you. God has a special calling for you. It's a unique purpose, and it's a calling in your life. Pray about it. Find out what it is. He will lead you. He won't ask you to do one thing that he doesn't give you the power to do. It's his power. It's just like when Moses was leading the children out of Egypt. He equipped him for that job. If you're called to be a preacher, teacher, evangelist, or whatever, servant of the Lord, then he's going to equip you for the job that he has called you for, no matter what. If you would go over to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to leave you with two things. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we, saved people into the body of Christ, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You're not created unto these good works for salvation or to keep your salvation. But only after you have your salvation, then you are created unto the good works. That's wonderful, and he'll equip you for it, and he'll give you the power enough through his power to take care of whatever calling or vocation that he's got for you to do. There is no doubt about it. Now, the last thing I'm going to leave you with is this. If you haven't, and you're going to hear the gospel of the grace of God preached, every person that gets up here is going to tell you. It's that important. That's the heart of the Bible for this dispensation. It's salvation through the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't say it enough. It's always fresh when I hear it. It's always fresh to me every time I speak it. I never tire of hearing the gospel. It's the most wonderful news that can be spread and told and experienced in this dispensation of the grace of God. If you want to find out where it's at, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Don't do it right now, but just remember, write it down. 1 Corinthians 15, start in verse 1 and go through 4. And that's going to give you the gospel of your salvation right there. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Jack, to let me get up here. And are you going to take a break now? Or?
I'll take care of it.
Okay. Thank you.